You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's Shapiro World with David Shapiro, and this podcast is proudly brought to you by sharenet.co.za. David Shapiro, it's a quiet time. It's a very strange thing because this is now, by my reckoning, the third short week we've had, and next week will be another short week because of the election. So that'll be four short weeks in a row in a country that can ill afford short weeks.
I think we tend to make them even shorter because we take holidays off either side of the public holiday. I think that people close early. Remember on Friday as well, it was already a short week. And then because Saturday was a holiday, we closed the stock exchange at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
And on Friday, Lindsay, I don't think we got to 10 billion rands worth of trade. Even as I look now, I think we're, the last time I looked, we were under 10. So there's very little turnover going through the market. We're 9.2 now. There's normally a flurry that takes place in the closing auction that makes up about 20-25% of the trade.
Yes.
Which will take it. So I predict we'll have 11 billion. We can't make a living on those volumes. Or there's certainly, when I say we, the industry can't. Remember, you've got these houses with research teams, you know, very, very expensive research teams. You've got trading teams. You've got offices. You've got the whole infrastructure. And I think on these volumes, the stock exchange, you know, stock brokers, and I'm using it in the old context, I think must be bleeding.
Yeah, I've put in a request for a call with Nicky Newton-King, the CEO of the JSE Limited, which administers, obviously, the JSE Securities Exchange. And she's not willing to talk to me, apparently. Maybe it's the time of year that she can't do so. But yeah, I want to talk to her about the future of the exchange because it's almost like it's becoming a provincial exchange.
Well, you know, what we are. And I'm just looking at the JSE. It's down 16% this year. We're down 30%. 16% year to date, 30% over the year.
You mean the share price of the JSE Limited?
The share price of JSE Limited. Now, just I classify that as a financial lie. You know, I'm not quite sure of the JSE's where they put the companies and classifications, but
yes.
I just pull them up into industrials, financials, and resources. I've got three ways that I look at, you know, three different markets, and I always put this as a financial. And out of all the banks and banks and insurers, I think this is the worst. In fact, I see Sasfin, our company, is down 27% this year.
Mm.
They're down 29%. So it gives you an idea of how people are, you know, how people are thinking.
When you talk about Sasfin, I don't want to get too personal about this, but when you come to financial services, when you come to Sasfin and you give that number that you've just given us, is that indicative of Sasfin or is that indicative of the industry in general, would you say, because of the nature of your business and the transactional nature of your business?
That's the economy. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's a bank. It lends to small and medium-sized enterprises.
Yes.
So that's its market. It's a business financer. It's an asset financer. You know, it helps you run your business. And I think that more so than the bigger banks, we're exposed to perhaps the soft side of this economy, to smaller businesses that are really battling very, very hard in this economy. So I would attribute it more to that than to perhaps reckless trading or anything around that. We're doing okay here. You know, I mean, on the wealth side, we're doing okay. But even in that respect, I think, we were early to take clients' money offshore, which has given us a bit of a boost. But I think in our traditional business, which is a stockbroking business, I think it must be, you know, under a lot of pressure in these times, as every other broker is. I just look here, Lindsay, I look today on the market, and I've got no ideas. You know, I literally sit here on the local market struggling to find anything to even talk about in these kind of markets. Very quiet, very dull. There's no activity. By activity, I mean M&A activity, mergers and acquisitions, deals, listings, any of the things that that we get in a normal year just absent. So you look for, what's happened to the platinum price? You know, what's happened to the iron ore price? We try to find stories around that rather than anything exciting that's driven by the
economy. Do you know what I sort of gauge it by as well, David? You talk about that, is that the number of emails that come in every single day, you'll get PL companies, you'll get companies coming directly to you saying, Lindsay, would you like this interview? Would you like to talk about this, like to talk about that? Mm. It has slowed to a dribble. It's not just this week or the week before because of the short weeks. It has just genuinely become a trend. Yeah. You really have to battle to find good stories, unless you're a politically leaning broadcaster, which I'm not. I mean, politics, I'm really not interested. You're not going to be able to tell somebody, well, I think you should be investing in this because of the antics of Mr. Malema or Mr. Ramaphosa, etc. I don't get fed stuff as much as I used to.
There isn't anything like that. I'm in your camp as well. I don't pay much attention to politics. There's a lot of talk, especially at the moment. Everybody's trying to climb on the bandwagon. You know, I just read a headline, UBS giving 20 stocks to buy if Mr. Ramaphosa comes in and increases. Wow, brilliant. You know, those kind of things. So I can't, you know, I'm not sucked in by that. I try to look at the underlying economy and whether there's a chance that regardless of whoever gets in, that the structures are there for us to turn this around. And that's a big difficulty. I don't think that there is any plan that's going to be able to help us absorb, absorb the unemployed or anything around that. So I think that's what you're alluding to. You know, we're not getting momentum. We're not getting ideas. We're not getting those kind of forces that drive economies up, and the stock market. You know, even you're the one. I think we spoke about valuations or recently. You know, valuations are there in a cynical way, and if the valuations are so wonderful, if they're so appealing and enthralling, why are there no deals? Why is no one coming in and grabbing these so-called companies? That's because I think no one can see past the next few weeks. And no one can see down the line. You don't acquire a company for next year. You acquire it for 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's missing. That's the it's missing in our market and it's missing in our economy.
You know what it does as well? I mean, it makes my business very difficult. I'm looking at the Stock Exchange News Service today. I'm looking at something that I get every week from FNB, which says what's going on over the next week when it comes to corporate activity. And it just says no corporate activity expected this week. I mean, there's nothing going on. There's going to be some economic data releases peppered throughout the week, but it's not like the United States when you see the GDP number coming out and the market says, well, this is great or this is bad. But in South Africa, the economic data releases are not particularly impactful when it comes to the chats that we have. It's to do with corporate data. And there's nothing. There's nothing this week. It's actually quite difficult.
No, it's very difficult. It's exactly that. You know, I'm putting a story. I mean, before our talk, I always try jot down some points and see where the drivers are. You know, what points of interest. Always looking for something different. And I must say, I'm a bit stuck and stymied at the moment. I just see Anglo Platts has come down quite significantly for reasons. There's been a lot of and Impala's as well. There's been a lot of activity on that side of it. So I'm not sure what's driving it down. If there's been any issue in the platinum market, because on Friday, Lindsay, we saw quite a kick up in palladium prices and platinum prices towards the end.
Yes.
But I've got to go check the story now because it seems that there's been a bit of pressure on those prices. Platinum shares under significant pressure. It's not ex-dividend at this stage, so
no,
I'm not sure what the I'm not. Impala's down. Anglo Platts is down.
Anglo Platts down 4%.
Five and a half.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're pre-recording this. Just looking at the top five major movers according to Shenet.co.za. On the downside, we've got Anglo American Platinum, Impala Platinum, Anglo Gold, Exxaro, and then right at the bottom, Fortress A. So something's going on in thin conditions today. I don't know, David.
Well, it's on the mining markets, but I haven't seen any particular story, maybe other than some, you know, that there's a sell-off in some of those metals. But there's nothing that I've seen, that highlights that. It's certainly not a world headline. So something there. I'll dig it up in a minute or two. I'll have to go search and see why we've seen those kind of movements on the upside as well. There's absolutely no movement. There's very little to push us up or very little corporate news. So that's about the only story we can work around is why suddenly the sell-off in platinum shares.
Yeah, the rand is 14.31 against the US dollar, which is not that. I mean, it's a 0.5% move from the last time that the market traded on Friday. Of course, the platinum price itself is down $9 to $8.90. Maybe it's a little bit to do with that. Or maybe somebody has come out and said, well, you know, you've got an election coming up in a relatively unstable political country, which has a 76% monopoly, I think it is, in the production of platinum group metals. Maybe we don't like this. Maybe someone is actually sitting down and saying, let's take a play on this thing. Maybe a broker put out a cautionary on platinum group metal stocks. Who knows?
Well, I'll dig for that. I haven't got the answer at the moment. All but, right. You know, I've got the Anglo Platts chart in front of me, and it's a kind of share that tracked sideways for almost a couple of years now. I'm looking from 2014, and I'm taking a longer view. And then, of course, last year about this time or a little around about August or September, it just took off and rocketed all the way up for whatever reasons. And the chart looks very vulnerable. You know, and I'm not a chartist in the sense that I track every move and I draw lines and all kinds of pictures around it. But where something takes off almost perpendicularly, you know that there's going to be trouble ahead and that it's going to unwind. And what I'm seeing now just seems to be unwinding and starting to fall. And my sense tells me that this could come down another 10-15% before it finds any kind of support or levels here. So maybe we're at the start of some kind of correction that reverses some of the huge profits that we saw in platinum shares last year. Difficult to read. We're taking guesses here.
We really are taking guesses, David. Do you know what we're doing now? You and I, normally, we have so much to speak about. There's nothing to speak about this week. Have you noticed that we're grasping at straws?
Yeah, I know. Well, that happens. I wish it was different. I go through a routine every day in order to try and track what's happening on the market. I go through the SENS reports. I go through all the different media, I go through Bloomberg's, I go through the Financial Times, I go, you know, just looking for headlines in the hope of finding a story. And to be honest, the only story that's coming through now is what lies ahead this week, that you've got a Fed meeting, you've got a Bank of England meeting, you've got the job numbers on Friday and so on. So we've got Alphabet's results, we've got Apple's results. So there's quite a bit that's happening on the global scene, but when we relate it back to our market here, very little. Even on U.S. markets, they're ticking up. The bulls are. When I say the bulls are in the ascendancy, we're talking in decimal points, not in anything great. They just seem to be. I see the S&P is at a new record. It's up 0.2%, but it's not 50. You know, it's not running away. But that's on the driven by some good numbers, particularly in the tech side of it. But that's about it, you know, and nothing really. Europe's okay as well. But it's very hard to find where the winners are.
Yeah, no.
You know, which?
Sorry, yeah.
I think the only winner I have to mention is that.
Go on.
Is the Avengers came out, which is a movie.
1.2 billion.
Can you believe it? And no. You know something, to be honest, I don't think I could sit through that for more than 15 minutes.
It's a three-hour film.
No affinity for those kind of movies at all.
Well, it's not just that. When I saw it, I mean, I didn't even know that the Avengers series had become such a massive thing, but they put in a weekend, which meant that $1.2 billion worth was taken out of something like 8,000 theaters across the United States of America. It was sold out, and you can't even get tickets this week for it either. And I don't quite understand. And I thought to myself, well, maybe I should go and see this thing. And it says, no, you've got to be there for the last 10 years. You've got to have been part of this movement, part of this Avengers thing. You can't just go and watch this film. You have to have watched all the previous films. And this film is nearly 3 hours long, David.
Yeah, it is. My family in New York went. My grandson was proud to tell me that he was going on Saturday evening, 9:20. That's 21 hours, you know, I mean, in the evening. Yeah. And there was 3 hours, and he had a soccer game in the morning. The big worry was he had to get up to get up for a soccer practice, worried he wouldn't get up. 3 hours. It's crazy. And Lindsay, you know, when they watch that, they buy these huge tubs of
popcorn.
And then you can fill up your Coke. You know, you can have any kind of color Coke you want, from orange Coke to I don't know what different Cokes you have, etc. It's an incredible experience to go there.
We were talking about this. I mean, the major drivers of stocks these days are all to do with service. They're to do with watching things on television or watching things on your smartphone. It's as simple as that. The old style industrial shares are being pushed to the background. They're still there, but you have to say to yourself, which I don't know which studio actually produces Avengers.
This is Marvel. Marvel is Disney.
Oh, it's Disney. Marvel. You see, there you go.
Yeah, it's right. Marvel. But the other point that's interesting is that, you know, I'm a big Buffett man. I have been. I've always admired him. I've always had great respect for him, and I learned an enormous amount from him. But over the last few years, he's kind of lost a little bit of the glamour. I don't think, you know, his diehard fans still hold him in very high esteem, as do I and Charlie. But if you look at his performance over the last few years, he's kind of hasn't kept abreast with with the S&P, and he's always bragged over a lifetime, you know, that he's able to outperform the S&P. And I think since 2008 or 2009, he's actually underperformed that market simply because he's so big. You know, his Berkshire Hathaway is in the top 10 listed companies on the on the U.S. market in terms of market cap. So it's very difficult to get the kind of returns that he wants, even though he's got a lot of underlying businesses. Yeah. Insurance businesses have done well and so on. He's been hurt by Kraft Heinz. But even his performance on the stock market has been below par. You know, his hasn't been, even with the appointment of the two Toms who are, you know, helping manage that side of it. So he's under a lot of pressure. And why I bring it up is that this Saturday is the meeting in Omaha. And you can podcast it. You know, webcast it and watch the whole thing in the comfort of your home rather than squashing into the arena there. But I'll miss it. I'll be in London. But I think he's going to come under quite a bit of pressure for the first time in terms of returns. And not only that, he's got a huge cash pile, which people are beginning to not demand, but suggest he starts to buy back shares in a more aggressive way, or at least pay a dividend, because it doesn't seem he's able to spend it.
Yeah, or maybe he's losing touch, or just maybe the market is becoming more diverse or dislocated compared to his normal way of valuing shares, because he lost out in the tech boom, but to his credit, he was cushioned from the market falling dramatically back in 2000. He didn't go for the dot-com things because he didn't understand them. He's gone for Apple as well. But now maybe he can't understand Netflix and Disney.
No.
and other industries that are really not anything to do with him. I mean, he has a he has a hamburger every day and a glass of Pepsi, I think it is, and, and that's his life.
Coke.
Is it Coke? Oh, it's not Pepsi, sorry. Coca-Cola every single day. That doesn't really you can invest in those, but that doesn't mean to say you've got a Netflix subscription and you're watching whatever film it is.
Yeah. No, I think you're dead right, and I think that, you know, his big deal into Kraft Heinz backfired largely because I think he was applying very similar or very much part of his old value type approach. And sometimes with big brands, you need to spend on them. You can't just let them take care for themselves. And a lot of those big brands that he always used to regard as sacred or iconic are not. In an internet age, are coming under a lot of pressure, you know, and I think he's just slightly out of step there or wasn't fast enough to make that transformation.
This transformation is going to be interesting. It's like Mr. Ferguson going to David Moyes all those years ago when Manchester United changed its management and everyone had been used to Mr. Ferguson and then David Moyes came along. It's like eventually Munger and Buffett will hand over. And I don't know if the transition is going to be that smooth, and probably because of the size and the reputation of the past.
It's, in fact, there were suggestions that even he put on the stage, you know, some of these appointments that he's made, Greg Abel and Ajit, I can't remember his name, Jane, you know, who's the insurance man, who are destined to take over from him or the running of the underlying businesses. But there's no way that he's going to give up the stage, you know, and absolutely no way. So, For me, it's 88 years old. Charlie's 96 year old. It's not much longer, you know. Just you can't fight. What's the word? The aging process, and it's rather sad because I mean they've been wonderful people, and I still to this day you still quote them, and they're incredibly entertaining. But from an investment point of view. I'm starting to say, do I really need, and I've done very well out of them, but I'm certainly underperforming where I should be.
I wonder if the UEFA Champions League was a listed entity, how it would have done over the last 10 years. I think it would probably be up 100, 200%, something like that. And this week, David, I know you're going over to London in the next couple of days in order to watch football matches, but what I've seen is an incredible end to the English Premier League season. We've got two games left for each of Manchester City and Liverpool. I don't know who's...
I've never seen anything like this.
No, nor have I. No, I mean, the other thing
every
is...
every game. You know, from now, at wherever you are, every game is important. I mean, you've got the four teams, Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, fighting for places. They can't slip up. I mean, they have slipped up. It's incredible how they have slipped up. But at the top end, I've never seen a fight like this. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. And then we've got the Champions League tomorrow. It's
Spurs against Ajax is incredible. I can honestly give you a prediction now that Spurs are looking so jaded and so lacking in ideas that Ajax, which is a team that I'm quite close to, is the most amazingly young, vibrant, and unfettered team that I've ever seen in my life. I would predict that Ajax is going to thrash Spurs over two legs. Thrash them, I'd say.
I think it can happen because they didn't look, you know, just watching Spurs, they looked very, when you say jaded was the right word, they never had ideas. They never, and you know, West Ham really stretched them. For the first few minutes, they were fine. But I think that applies to a lot of teams. You know, I didn't see Chelsea. I didn't see Man United. Arsenal were awful. They have been for the last couple of weeks.
Well,
and when I say awful, I can't find a word strong enough to describe.
Manchester United made the biggest mistake of their lives, David. Sorry to interrupt. By appointing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You've heard of the dead cat bounce, of course.
You've heard of
the dead cat bounce where a market falls dramatically and then it bounces back. And the old saying is you can drop a cat off the Empire State Building and it'll bounce, but it doesn't mean it's not dead. I think Manchester United is a dead team, and the appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was the most emotionally driven and injudicious move they could ever have come up against. They should have had Zinedine Zidane in there. That's what they should have done. But anyway.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you there. I just I can't see him lasting. You know? I don't think think it's going to end up costing them a lot of money. And it's a shame because he's a decent person.
Yeah, he looks
He's a really decent, nice man.
If you're earning £500,000 a week and that little fella walks into the changing room and says, "Oi, do your socks up," he's going to say to him, "Well, he just doesn't look like a Mr. Ferguson." No. Just quick predictions on this now. We've got Spurs versus Ajax. And crikey, Barcelona versus Liverpool.
Barcelona and Liverpool.
I know.
Which, I don't know. I don't know whether Liverpool have got it. I love Barcelona. I love the play they soccer, you know, the way they play soccer.
You're talking my language, yeah.
You know, they're a beautiful team. And credit to Liverpool. I mean, they've been very consistent. They try hard. They're one team that just keeps going. And I like Jurgen Klopp, but I think that maybe Barcelona will have the slight edge on.
Okay, so it's Barcelona and Spurs versus Ajax. I've already nailed Ajax my colours to the mast. What do you think?
I think Ajax,
yeah. Can you imagine Barcelona-Ajax final? Oh, my gosh.
I know. Wonderful.
So exciting. David Shapiro, thank you very much for your time this evening. It's David Shapiro from Sasvin in Johannesburg. And that was Shapiro World. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.